Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
A farmer found genetically modified wheat in his field that Monsanto stopped growing back in 2005, which means this wheat is not only reproducing on its own, but someone is going to have to tell it that Malcolm in the Middle was canceled. The wheat was created to be one of Monsanto's Roundup Ready crops, which are genetically engineered to withstand bombardment by Monsanto's Roundup, a powerful herbicide that kills every living plant except the crop. And no one knows where the wheat came from, since Monsanto swears it destroyed all tested material after abandoning the program. And then, just to make sure no one ever found the remains, they buried that wheat in the middle of a field. But now, folks, now the wheat's back, and the company has a perfectly good explanation. Monsanto says it is mystified by the appearance of the wheat. Okay, they don't know, so maybe we should ask the genetically modified wheat. At this point, it can probably talk. Long story short, the situation is under control, but try telling that to the skittish foreigners.
Japan immediately postponed a 25,000-ton order from a Portland grain shipper. It's put in jeopardy this year's Oregon crop, which is valued between $300 and $500 million.
Really, Japan? You're afraid of a little genetically modified wheat? May I remind you, you eat raw octopus taint. Now, sure, wheat farmers are hurting, but we all know Monsanto is the real victim here. They could face criminal prosecution and be fined up to $1 million. Do you know how long it takes Monsanto to earn $1 million? Oh, they just did. That was fast. That's really fast. And again.
From the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets hard to find, temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Alsip Home and Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Bertold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. He's a legendary, charismatic megafauna in his own mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
One more time.
And good morning, everybody. Look who is back in the studio here.
Woo-hoo!
Wow, the lovely
I was Lisa. Not eaten by a shark. I came back.
You are not. And she's tanned.
She looks fantastic.
Well, she always looks fantastic, but now she looks fantastic and tanned.
And golden.
You know, since it's not happening in Chicago, I went elsewhere.
Oh, no. Not while you were gone, temperatures didn't get out of the 30s here, basically.
No fun. Excellent. Well, I did think of you in the 80s in my bikini on the bayside of the Keys.
Wow.
Sympathetically.
And you didn't send a postcard. You didn't send any of us. Did you get a postcard, Sarah?
No.
Huh? Not so good with the whole mailing thing.
Carol, did you get a postcard?
No, I did not. What's up with that, Lisa?
Yeah, really.
So sorry. So sorry, team.
I mean, you don't even know Carol, basically.
I didn't even Facebook. I don't know if you noticed. I've been MIA on
Good
Facebook.
Good for you.
I've
Good
been
for you.
Just checked out of life.
Wow.
I'm jealous.
There's not a lot going on
she
at
went
the bottom
silent.
Of the sea.
There's not a lot of what?
Not a lot going on at the bottom of the sea.
Well, wait a second. Then why go down there?
Well, actually, I did see a shark was swimming right at me. It was just a nurse shark, though. So, not interested in me. They're bottom feeders.
They just swim around until somebody gets hurt, and then they help them because they're nurse sharks.
Yes,
is that
exactly.
it? Is that how nurse shark works? Yeah, yeah. And we should know, I should note, this is pretty interesting experiment. Carol Brewer is in the booth.
I am in the booth.
She's got the Rob Carthal job today. And we have, and he just tweeted.
Uh-oh, I'm not, what did he say?
Hi, Lisa. He just said, hi, Lisa.
Good morning, Rob.
You know, he's not here. He's taking a day off. I have no idea. He's doing something. It's top secret. I think he's spying for the NSA.
I hope he's at my house planting.
And by the way, I needed to ask that. And by the way, the lovely Sarah Batka is here as well.
Sporting her sparkly pink headsets.
Sparkly pink headsets. And for those of you, I posted on Facebook last night that we were going to have a surprise. Surprise! There's no surprise. Not this morning. In a couple of weeks, I'm just saying, in a couple of weeks, we are entering a brave new world here at the Mike Novak Show.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Intriguing.
I'm going to tease that.
I hope there's going to be a drum roll. I know you have the sound for that.
We have the technology here. If I could find the drum roll, I know it's on here.
You didn't introduce our special guest.
I was just about to do that. Wait a second. Well, wait a second. Let me find my drum roll. If we're going to introduce a special guest, then I think we need to have, okay, right here. Stand by. It's here. There it is. We just bring this here. Okay, we ready for our special guest? Say hello, special. Well, you've got to pull that microphone. Oh, you've got your microphone on. Say hello, special guest.
Can you say good morning?
Good morning.
Did you hear yourself?
Yeah.
On your headset?
Can you hear yourself okay? Is it too loud?
It's not too loud.
No? Nothing's too loud, believe me.
Not when you're seven. Well, almost seven. His
not when,
on
not when you're my age either. It's like, crank it up.
Louder, louder. His birthday's on Wednesday.
Really? Mm-hmm. This is Colton. How old are you going to be, Colton?
Seven.
That's a good age.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I were seven again.
Yep.
I want to do this all over again.
I think he's going to be an entomologist or something when he grows up.
And why is Colton here, Lisa?
Colton is my godson, and his parents are at a Brewers game. Lord only knows why.
What?
I know. You know, they're from...
Well, you know, better than watching the Cubs or the White Sox, I say.
Right. But there's always... Blackhawks.
There's always a Blackhawks. How about them Blackhawks?
Woo-hoo.
Wow.
4-3. Bum, bum, bum.
Very nice. Well, Colton, welcome. I'm glad you're here in the studio.
Can you say thank you?
Thank you.
All right. Go.
He normally is an incredibly chatty child.
What are you working on right now, Colton?
What are you playing?
Pocket Frogs.
Pocket Frogs. What's Pocket Frogs?
Can you tell him?
A game.
It's a game on iPad where you breed frogs, and then you have to bring them to maturity, and you build habitats. It's pretty cool.
All right.
He's pretty good at it.
Well, go back to Pocket Frogs there, and we will we'll keep an eye on here. You keep an eye on us, okay?
Okay.
All right. Wow. So you got them all day?
Yeah, had them all day yesterday, too. Picked them up at 10.
Cool. I used to have the Mighty Blackhawks theme here. It's probably on one of my discs that Heather left for me. I mean, I do have this.
Hi, Jim Corrigan. Dennis, I know that some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey. Could you tell them, for example, what is icing?
Well, icing happen when the puck come down, bang, you know, before the other guys, mm-hmm. nobody there, you know. Mm-hmm. My arm go comes out, then the game stop, then start up.
I see. What is high sticking?
High sticking happen when the guy take the stick, you know, and he go like that. You know, you don't do that.
You don't do that.
Oh, no, never, never.
Don't
Why not?
Do that.
Against the rules. You know, you're stupid when you do that. Just some English pig with no brain
Dennis,
at all, you know.
What is slashing?
Slashing is like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. And there's a penalty for that?
Yeah. And for a trip also, you know, like that. And for hook, like this. And for spear, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. All bad.
Bad.
You do that, you go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get free.
Maybe.
The Chiefs are at home tonight against Cyanusport at the War Memorial at 8. Good seats are still available.
And that's hockey.
Don't do that.
That's all it is.
Don't do that.
That's all it is. You don't do that, and then you go to the box. You feel shame.
It's exactly how I was explaining penalties last night. I was like, it's like a timeout. You have to sit by yourself, think about what you did.
So let's give a ding to the Blackhawks, because otherwise it's going to be a long, long summer in Chicago.
Yeah. We need something to celebrate.
We need something to celebrate. So there you go.
And, well, you know, it's the weather's appropriate. Cold.
Yeah, hockey
cold,
weather.
Cold
Although,
hockey.
I have to admit, I walked out the door this morning, and for the first time, it felt like summer.
Mm-hmm.
I like there was a hint of summer. It's not really summer yet, but, like, We might get there. And it's because you brought the warm weather back to town, right, Lisa?
I lassoed it all the way home.
And I have to ask all of you guys, how are your Marshall strawberries doing? Can we have a Marshall strawberry report, please?
Well, mine are still in the little pot. They're not seeming too happy about it.
No, they don't want to be in the little pot. They actually want to be in the ground.
They'd like to be in big soil.
Or the big pot or the ground. Sarah?
This week.
Marshall is in an earth box in my backyard.
Okay.
All to himself. I check on him. Check on him when I get home from work.
Getting bigger?
No.
Mine is actually sending.
He's just acclimating, getting used to the new home.
Well, my Marshall is sending out a runner.
Get out of here.
Yep.
I won't know what that is when it happens, so you'll have to tell me.
Well, they send out leaves, but then they also send out runners, and runner is when it's going to produce a baby strawberry.
Oh, nice. Like a spider plant.
Like a spider plant.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. My Marshall is happy.
Nice.
Overachiever.
You don't have. Did you get a Marshall, Carol? I can't remember.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
It sounds very interesting.
Oh well, Marshall strawberry.
You'll get the next generation.
These are the
strawberries. I think that was week pre Carol.
This was right. These are the strawberries that were almost extinct in America, and then Leah Gauthier rescued them and other people, and she's been spreading them all over the country, and now I have one, and you guys have one. And
I believe as a result of the show, 47 Chicagoans have one.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
great. Thank
you,
listeners.
It will continue, and then we will produce more babies, and we'll spread the strawberry because it's very tasty. Okay, on the show today, lots of good stuff. It's way too crowded, and we got to get to it because we're starting with Dr. Earth himself. Milo Seamus will be with us in just a second. Rick DeMaio weather at 9:45. Ryan Wilson from the Center for Neighborhood Technology. They are talking flooding. They've been doing some amazing stuff regarding stormwater management and just rain management programs and articles that they've written about. They're doing a thing called the Gross Gathering, which is this Wednesday. And basically, it's a bunch of people just like you and me, especially if your basement has been flooded recently, just like you and me. To talk about what that was like, bring photos, get on a soapbox and complain about it, meet with contractors and officials, tell the story on camera. They're going to run a video and they'll say, and people will get up and say, well, here's how my basement got flooded. And the most amazing thing that you're going to find out when Ryan gets here is that we build our cities so that they will flood. This is what we have done in the modern world, with impermeable pavement, just everything else we do, sending all the downspouts into the waste stream, the water into the sewers, we have constructed cities that are they're built to flood. And Ryan Wilson will talk about that. Tell us, Jim Schweitzer will be here also. Lisa?
Oh, and I'm excited about that. Jim is an astrophysicist, and he gives advice to NASA. He's been really busy this week working on a bunch of projects. He advises planetariums, but he is one of the climate leaders with Climate Reality Project.
And which that's is Al Gore's.
And that's Al Gore's group and the group that I present with. So he'll be here today.
And Al Gore is coming to town to teach a new batch of...
He is. And if anybody's interested, and we'll talk about this, but you can sign up. And the international training is in Chicago this year.
And you were trained personally by Al Gore.
I had to go to San Francisco for it, but it's
I'd rather do that,
I think.
Okay, but the training's in Chicago in the summer. Al Gore will be here, and Jim Schweitzer will talk about that. And then finally, I'm very pleased to have First Ward Alderman Proco Joe Moreno, who's going to be on. There is an ordinance that he's going to introduce a week from Tuesday. And it's all about Bring Your Bag Chicago. It is an effort to rid us of plastic bags in the, you know, the shopping plastic bags in the city of Chicago. Single use is what we call them. I'm very happy to have him on the show. I have to, in full disclosure, I've been working on this project with some people. We will talk about Bring Your Bag Chicago the alderman is here with us, First Ward Alderman Proco Joe Moreno, all on the big show today. So let's get right to it. Milo Seamus is hanging on, and we will get to him in just a second. If you're looking for a gardening destination, look no further than The Growing Place in Naperville and Aurora. Their display gardens are unlike anything you've seen, and right now they're at their peak. And if you come by next Sunday, you can be part of their beneficial landscaping trio seminar in Aurora. At 10 a.m., learn how to weave a sampling of native plants into your gardens that pay big benefits in color, texture, and low maintenance. Use basic design principles. The Growing Place experts will teach you how to incorporate natives into a typical suburban yard. At 10:45, it's plants that attract birds and butterflies. At 11:30, learn about the plants that are water wise, explore how and where to place native plants so you can enjoy four season interest without fighting your site, which is a good thing. The seminar is only $10, and you can use that toward a plant purchase. Registration is recommended, so call 630-355-4000. 630-355-4000, and you got to get to The Growing Place in Naperville in Aurora. What gorgeous gardens. This is the time of year when they really shine, and it's a destination. It's just a place that you want to walk around in and feel alive. The Growing Place is in Naperville at 25 West 471 Plank Road, and in Aurora at 2000 Montgomery Road. Go to thegrowingplace.com for tips, specials, and plant lists. The Growing Place is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. As we get into summer, now is the good time to check your trees for infestations and diseases. Monitor your landscape for thinning canopy, undersized or discolored leaves, or sawdust-like material and small holes in the bark. If you own conifers, watch for spruce spider mites. Some other ways you can take care of your trees: avoid root zones when treating for lawn weeds. Really, that's a no-no. By the same token, avoid root injury when planting annuals and perennials, and avoid damaging trunks when mowing lawns. We sometimes call that lawnmower and string trimmer blight. You also want to prepare for summer storms. Preventive measures can save you money. Well-maintained trees are better able to withstand severe wind and rain. To talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees, call 800-508-9466. 800-508-9466.
508-9466. Why do I give you that number? Well, you write it down. You call that number for a free consultation. If you call today, Sunday, leave a message, and your call will be returned tomorrow. 800-508-9466, or go to thecareoftrees.com. A Davey Company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Bertold's Garden Center wants you to know that it's not too early to be thinking about Dad. Heck, next week is Father's Day, right? It's the 16th, and they're celebrating with sales on June 14th, 15th, and 16th. Flats of annuals are $13.89 each. 4.5-inch annuals, $3.50 each. 4-inch veggies and herbs, $1.99 each. Fruit trees and berries, 25% off marked price. Fountains and bird baths, 25% off marked price. Ornamental crab apples, 25% off marked price. 25% off, I meant to say. In addition, there will be specials on select items in the gift shop. Don't forget that if you don't have the time or expertise to design your own container, Bertholdt's has got you covered. Simply bring in your empty containers and let them know what colors you prefer and the sun exposure, you know, full sun, part sun, or shade the plantings will have. They'll take care of the rest, really. They're great people. Bertholdt's Garden Center is at 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front or go to bertholdtsgardencenter.com. Bertholdt's, get green, let's get growing. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's immediately go to the phone line, bring in my buddy, Dr. Earth himself, Milo Seamus. How are you doing, Milo?
Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
All right. How are things on the left coast today?
Today's a beautiful day. It's 7:20 our time here, and it's about 80 degrees this morning.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's too hot. It's going to be a miserable day. I jumped in my car yesterday after a long, hard day at work and left the office at about 5 after 10. And when I got in my car, the thermometer said 140 degrees, 140, not 104, 140. And I just couldn't even put my hand on the steering wheel. It was so terrible.
Oh, my goodness. Now, that's because I assume it had been sitting out in the sun.
Yes, correct. But now that I've, you know, it's never gotten that hot ever in my entire, period of time being in Northern California. I was just, I've never seen it at 140. It was just absolutely lunacy. The good word for it. It was crazy.
That is lunacy. Really? My goodness.
I would think at that point things are melting in your car.
Yeah, I was afraid if I turned the car on, it might just liquefy or something.
You're in a soup.
And what's odd is that here in the Midwest and a lot of the, I guess, East as well, we've been abnormally cool this spring season.
You know, it's been the darn, and it's ironic that you're going to have Al Gore on in a couple of weeks, but it's just been the weirdest year, hasn't it? You guys are just getting the craziest weather, and so is the East Coast and Mid-Atlantic states. Of course, the South just got their thing a couple of days ago. It's just that, too, is lunacy.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that takes us into growing. I've had folks write to me and say, you know, it's been a little cool. What do I need to be concerned about? It's been rainy here as well. And actually, I had Dr. Frederick Miller from Joliet Junior College on last week. I thought his advice was really awesome. He said, it's been raining,
go with it. You know, it's
oh my goodness.
Because you guys, it's a little tougher out there in California sometimes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to see a 30-degree temperature drop in the next 3 to 4 days because you get this abnormal kind of heat wave. And it just, you know, everything is just dying around the house. My wife and I were watering until about 9 or 10 o'clock last night.
Mm-hmm.
And just to keep things hydrated. And, you know, I'm really good about keeping a nice thick layer of mulch on all the container plants.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even that just wasn't enough. It just, you know, there was just so much. The air was so dry and then the high winds. And then all of a sudden, in 3 days from now, it'll go, drop back down to 72 degrees. So, you know, it's, you know, I really like what the doctor said last week. Just go with it. I mean, you get to a point to where you just have to garden. I mean, you know, if you're like us, if you're plant people and you just, you know it's time to begin to think about that dream salad in a few months from now, you just kind of start doing what you're going to do and you do the best you can trying to time that special week when you put the transplant outside and you hope for the best. But at the end of the day, you just kind of got to go with it and just do the best that you can. And typically Mother Nature is very forgiving and she tends to, allow you the harvest.
Well, I guess that's the whole point. Dr. Earth is, Milo Seamus is Dr. Earth, and Dr. Earth is a great sponsor on the Mike Novak Show, as those of you who listen know. And your whole deal is the biology. As I like to say sometimes to people, it's the biology, stupid. And, you're talking about Mother Nature dealing with this. How does biology respond to hot and cold, wet and dry? I imagine biology, to some degree, is pretty forgiving.
It's very forgiving. You got to remember, chemistry is new. Biology is, it's evolved with us. I mean, we come from biology. That's the meaning of it, life.
Mm-hmm.
And, biology is very good when you have these extremes, cold and hot. Mother Nature really knows what to do. I mean, if you start with the smallest biota in the soil from, living microbes, single-cell organisms in the soil, and they know what to do. When the temperature drops and the soil begins to freeze, they just simply go dormant. They just know it's time. Hey, time to go to sleep. We're going to shut it down until the temperature warms up. And, of course, as the temperature warms up, they break dormancy, they begin to multiply, and then they do the thing. They break down organic material. Now, the nice thing about that is the plant is very much on the same schedule that the microbes are, or that's the mycorrhiza, which is, the fungus. They are as well. So when the biology in the soil works, the biology of the plant wants to work simultaneously because typically – plant is responding to heat, temperature, and directly sunlight. And that directly and simultaneously impacts the biology in the soil. So as it warms up, more sunlight, plants require more nutrition, soil temperature heats up, greater biological level, more nutrients are available for the plant when it needs it. That's really the great thing about the probiotics that I deal with all of the Dr. Earth products is that I don't really depend on the chemistry. I depend more on the biology. And it's, I know we never talked about this. You never really prepped me for this question, but that's really what I do. If the biology is correct in the soil, if the biology works in the soil, if you have the proper biology, meaning the proper microbes, probiotics, and mycorrhiza, and a good food source for them in the form of prebiotics, which are, the different types of sugars and, inulin and things of that nature, to feed them, and then everything just works beautifully. Then the nutrients break down as the plants require them, as the temperature drops. The microbes' activity drop, which means they leave the organic nutrients alone in the soil. See, that's the beautiful thing about the biology of the soil and the biology of the plant working very much synergistically together and not trying to override the natural living cycle of the plant and of evolution. And that if you leave things alone, the plant will take the nutrients when it wants it. The microbes, the probiotics, will make the nutrients available when it's able to, when the temperature warms, when there's more moisture. All these the variables that come into play. So they kind of interact with each other, and that's the beautiful thing. I mean, the plant dies, and the biology in the soil simultaneously goes dormant and just kind of knows, hey, my season's over. It's time to go to bed and wait for the, either another warm spell or more moisture or or other environmental conditions that directly impact their viability, basically.
All right, let me address a question here. We're talking to Milo Seamus, who is a Dr. Earth, and you're talking about the biology of the soil and things happening when the plant wants it to happen, which is to say when the temperatures are right. And, you know, that's something that I believe in, that, if you have healthy soil, you're going to have healthy plants. And the way you have healthy soil, you kind of turn it loose. You let it do what it's supposed to do naturally. It occurs to me that maybe when you are forcing synthetics on a plant, and the plant's not ready for it, or the soil's not ready for it, the temperatures aren't right, that can cause stress in a plant.
You know, not only can it cause stress, but it can cause a lot of other environmental conditions which aren't favorable. Number one, you're going to build the salt index up in the soil, which is a big, big no-no. Because anytime you get above, and I know you know this, Mike, anytime you get above 16 parts per million sodium salt, that becomes phytotoxic. It literally, you begin to poison the soil. I mean, it's almost biblical. They said if you want to poison the land, you put salt on it, and it poisons it for 1,000 years. Now, obviously, that's just, more of a biblical sense, but it's literal.
Hey, we'll go with the Bible here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm just a kid who went to a Catholic school. For some reason, that just seems appropriate right now. But yeah.
I'm with you.
It is Sunday, so there you go.
There, we've done our religion.
That's it. That's as close as I'm going to get here.
It was very appropriate for the minute. So yeah. For the moment, I kind of went with it. But, that's what chemical fertilizers are. They're mineral salts. You apply them to the soil. There's always a salt buildup because, if you're doing one or two applications of chemical fertilizers, it's typically not a big deal. You have a high rain, index like Chicago, of course, does. And it's usually not a big deal. But, I mean, if that's the kind of method you use, you typically tend to have a very low organic matter in the soil. Your plants are much more dependent on those mineral salts. And then, of course, plants can't use all of those nutrients, the applied chemical fertilizers. They can't use them all. There's a runoff, which is a huge problem. And I know in Chicago, you guys are very, very big water people. And, polluting the waterways is not a good thing. So just imagine this collectively. And the millions of people that live in Chicagoland and the neighboring communities, if everybody were to use organic products, of course, Dr. Earth. But just think about it. If everybody were to use organic products and just the reduction of the phosphate runoff and the nitrate runoff.
And that's one of the things that if you're using organics, that's if you have no other reason, and I can look at your products and other organic products as well, the NPK levels are much lower than you find in a lot of the synthetics. You know, when you're putting that synthetic lawn fertilizer and it's got that first number on the bag, which is your nitrogen, when it's got 28 on there, you know that a lot of that stuff is not being used up. It's not being used by the plant. And what's happening, we know where it's going into the water table. And it's just, it's overkill. That's why I love using your stuff. And I'll tell you, you got to know, Milo, that my buddy Ron Cowgill, who is the host of Mighty House, and you met him a couple of years ago when you came to town and we did a broadcast.
I had a great talk with him. Oh, yeah, he's a fun guy.
He is. And ever since he met you, he's gone with Dr. Earth. And he loves it. And it's very funny because he talks about his neighbor who's always coming over and asking him, why is your lawn so green? Ron says, I don't know. I just use Dr. Earth stuff, and Ron's not, he's not a gardener, really. His idea of caring for a perennial bed is to mow it in the fall. Okay.
Oh yeah. That's great mulch.
Mulch is a good thing too, because that puts our organic matter back in the soil. We're talking to Milo Seamus, who's Dr. Hang on a second, Milo. When we come back, very quickly, I'm going to have you tell me about some of the stuff that you brought out this year that you're really happy with. I know that you're looking at a couple of liquid fertilizers that are pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that when we get back to Dr. Earth. Meanwhile, we're speaking organics. Well, organic pest control is the goal of all environmentally concerned gardeners. The trick is doing it effectively. Well, have no fear. Here's another great product, Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew from Bonide. This is where, can I get an R from people in the studio?
R.
Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. From caterpillars to beetles to aphids and thrips, Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew covers a sea of insects. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew insecticide contains spinosad, which is made by fermenting a bacterium, and this is a true story, that was collected from an abandoned Caribbean rum distillery in 1982. Spinosad has become a leading pesticide used by agricultural workers worldwide in the production of organic produce. It's not only effective, but safe to use directly on your affected plant. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. Say hi to Jennifer. Graff Gardens in Worth, Illinois. Bertholdt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village, Illinois. Say hi to Wally. Or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you. Don't forget to download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid. Always read, please do this for me, always read and follow label directions.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
I'm Jennifer Brennan, the smart one.
And I'm Mike Novak, the pretty one.
We're the co-hosts of Dig In Chicago,
Chicago Television's only local gardening and cooking show.
And we're thrilled to be back for our second season offering gardening tips and tours.
Plus local chefs and local dishes.
Saturday mornings at 8:30.
And this year we're on the U2 channel, 26.2.
See you there. What an interesting specimen. I gotta look at this under the microscope.
Do you like my new Rinse In the Gray?
I think it looks pretty good on me. What are you planning to do in your yard this summer? Well, no matter your project, head over to Lake Street Supply. They're Chicago's leader in locally sourced and organic soils and compost. And just about anything else you'd need to make your yard spectacular. From beautiful reclaimed juniper timbers to green granite boulders, Lake Street Supply even carries sod. Make sure to call ahead for availability. That number is 312-226-0760. 226-0760. The friendly and helpful staff at Lake Street Supply stay up to date on all the latest technologies and practices so they can help you make the smart decisions when it comes to caring for your urban landscape. And if you need a designer or contractor, they'll help you find one. Lake Street Supply is also an authorized Unilock dealer. For the best selection in pavers and retaining walls, choose Unilock products. Unilock, designed to connect. For hours and directions, you can go online or call Lake Street Supply, 312-226-0760, or visit them, as I said, online, lakestreetsupply.com. Like them on Facebook. Lake Street Supply, a thoughtful approach to landscape supply.
Day to day, where do you want to be?
This is the Mike Novak Show. I'm glad you're listening to it. We're on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, 820 AM, 92.5, 92.7, and 99.9 FM. We're talking to Dr. Earth himself, Milo Seamus. I got a tweet here, Milo, for you. It says, if you can just very quickly give us an idea how Dr. Earth fertilizers are different from conventional salts.
They have a very conventional salt. They're organic based. First of all, they come from natural and organic materials, which just naturally have a very low salt index, as opposed to synthetic fertilizers, which are formulated through using mineral salts. And that's just how they clearly differ. The origin and how they're sourced or manufactured is completely different. In organics, what we do is we use plant materials like alfalfa and other beneficial plant materials. And we use sea-based materials like fish bone, fish meal, kelp meal, seaweed. And we also use mined ingredients from the earth like soft rock phosphates, humic acid, mined potassium sulfates, which could also be very salty, but we only use a small amount. And then we use these ingredients. So they just inherently have a very low salt index because of their core material, just the core nature of the ingredients themselves. Where typically when you're formulating a synthetic fertilizer, you typically tend to use the potassium and it's usually in a salt form and so are some of the other synthetic ingredients. So they just have the salt is attached to the molecule, basically. It's the way it works. And they just have a higher salt index, a much higher salt index. And that's pretty common knowledge. I mean, that's something that your friend that just tweeted you can just Google synthetic fertilizers and salt index. And it should give them a very clear description of how those salts are formed.
That's a good idea. Now, a couple of products I know that you've been involved in this year is your liquid solution and your seaweed concentrate. You mentioned that you liked the ocean-based products. Tell me about both of those.
You know, I'll tell you a few things about the company, Mike.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. I don't use any chicken manure, which is a very big... This is not even biology now, guys. This is just core materials versus core materials. I don't use any chicken manure in any Dr. Earth products. They're very inexpensive. And now talking about salt index, chicken manure has an incredibly high salt index and has the potential to burn plants if over-applied. That's just number one. What I do prefer is I use all sea-based ingredients, which, of course, cost maybe 50 times as much in terms of the commodity value. Kelp meal, fish meal, fish bone meal, these are all things that are very high in trace elements and trace minerals. So just kind of the way I put the fertilizer products together, not using any of the manures, using fish-based ingredients, just makes the product far superior, in my opinion. And, of course, you know, we've got a nationwide following of people that agree with me. You know, hundreds of millions of products sold over my 21 years of being in business.
But, yeah, you're kind of taking over the world, aren't you?
I'm really doing the best that I can, but I'm doing it with all the right reasons. I'm doing it because I'm really trying to make the world a better place. I mean, I feel like my telos and my purpose in life is to just really make a great contribution to the environment and to enhance people's experiences in their gardens and just make their homes safer and give them the best products I possibly can. And I'm having the grandest time doing it, Mike. I really am. I'm blessed. Look, how many guys do you know would wake up at 5 o'clock, come down to the office of the factory on a Sunday morning and joke around with their buddy in Chicago and really do it with a big smile on their face because it's just what I love to do. And that's kind of the way I built Dr. Earth was just really trying to do the best that I can and bringing the best of all these things that I know of together. Well,
as the Geico Gecko says, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
I just quoted the Geico Gecko. Oh, we got to give him a ding there too. Okay. You got about a minute here. Because I wanted you to explain real quickly about the liquid solution and the seaweed concentrate. Like for instance, the seaweed concentrate, it's, if you look at the NPK on it, it's 004.5. So yes, you're just dealing with the potassium there.
Well, potassium, but there's also 80 elements, trace elements that I'm not claiming. Just there isn't enough label space. And people
okay.
that know kelp meal, they just know if you're just using 100% seaweed extract, they know that the collateral benefits, which is, growth hormones, cytokinins, auxins, gibberellins or gibberellic acid, and all the trace elements. So then I use that in all the Dr. Earth products, in my soils, in my fertilizers, dry and liquid and everything else. I mean, yes, I sell it as a standalone ingredient, but I use it for everything. I think it's just the panacea ingredient. Gosh, if somebody came to me and said, you've got one choice, only one thing you can use forever, and it can never be anything else. I know the NPK value isn't really high, but I'll tell you what, boy, that seaweed will just do remarkable things for anyone's garden. But the liquid products that I have a patent on this technology that I came up with in the last 4 years called prebiotic, not probiotic, that with all the commercials that you see on television, but prebiotic, which literally means before life. And what prebiotics are is they're these soluble sugars. They're superfoods for probiotics. So, for example, what I do is I use fructo oligosaccharides and, you know,
Gesundheit.
I thought you'd say that. Thank you. Brown rice flour, whole wheat flour, blackstrap molasses, soy flour, all these like superfoods. I put them in the liquid fertilizer. So the moment they go into the soil, now the living organisms in the soil, the probiotics, the mycorrhizal fungi, they have an immediate and water-soluble food source. And that's what makes my liquid fertilizers completely unique and different than everybody else that's in the country. And the nice thing is we actually have intellectual property protection on this this idea.
Well,
here.
You know, the idea is feed the microorganisms that feed your plants. And
yes.
All right. Milo, it's always great talking to you. Enjoy your Sunday. Go back and go into the shop and say hi to your employees and keep turning out this great stuff. And we appreciate having it on the Mike Novak Show.
Thank you very much, Mike. Thank you, Lisa and Carol. And, you know, I'll just say that, Mike, if you can have your listeners go to drearth.com, that's drearth.com, and click on the prebiotic logo on the bottom. It'll really completely explain the technology. And there's a lot of great articles there, too.
I got a feeling a lot of them will do that, Milo. All right.
And
take care.
Thank you very much.
We will talk soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks again, Mike.
All right. Bye-bye. Now that we're seriously into the gardening season, I have a question for you. Have you stopped by Alsip Home and Garden yet? You know that there are two locations in Frankfort, Illinois, and St. John, Indiana, and both are filled to the brim with brilliant blooms, and that's alliterative. How do I know? Because I stopped by AlsipNursery.com and checked out their Fresh Arrivals slideshow. Right now, you can log right on AlsipNursery.com, and you'll see a massive display of red geraniums, incredible flats, and hanging baskets of super tunias and New Guinea impatiens, and more. There's also a great tip of the day online, and that's every day. The one I saw yesterday, it's probably changed already today. Yesterday's was cut back the stems of young mum plants by one-third. Now and in July. Now, it seems brutal, but this operation causes them to grow shorter but bushier. They will bloom a bit later as a result, but the plants will be stronger and at their peak in fall. Always great information from Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. Alsip, the best of every season.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
Hi, Holly told me you better give me a job. I said...
The Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's go to the phones and bring in Ricky D.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Are you making a, you know, one of those weird kind of sports wagers with the guy who runs the gardening show in Boston?
Well, yeah, let's do that.
We'll trade him a Marshall strawberry.
That's it. We trade a Marshall strawberry. Yeah.
How is that, right? So what could we give people in Boston from a garden perspective that they don't have?
I was thinking we'd just give them the back of our hand, but that's...
I'm not a 46-degree lake water.
yeah, exactly. You know,
I think that's probably the only city in the United States that has a crappier spring than us.
You know, if you've been trying to swim in Lake Michigan, maybe it's been a lousy spring.
Terrible,
but
yeah.
I have not had an issue with this spring. Sorry. I just have not. Nope.
You need to get outside.
Well, ow.
It's been terrible. I mean, I was walking along Lake Michigan yesterday by Adler Planetarium. I was freezing.
Of course. I know.
I was literally cold. I'm like, it's not, this is not June 8th weather. It's too cold.
Well, it has been, but I noticed this morning it seems kind of nice. What's going on? What's wrong?
Say again, you mean today?
Yeah, like today. It's as good as it's going to get, right, Rick?
Yeah, no. I mean, this is actually the beginning of a warm up, but you know, we'll get some rain later on this afternoon and tonight. I think more so tonight the way it looks like. But just looking at this pattern, it's just every time it wants to try to get at least 3 or 4 days of dry, cloudless, you know, warm weather. It's just not happening. And I think what's really bothering most people, including moi, is that it is such a complete 180 from last year. Such a complete 180 that you've been conditioned to think, well, by now we should have nice weather. And last year we didn't expect it, and it happened. And, you know, this year it's just, I mean, we've had 10 inches more rain than last year. It seems like every other day it's raining, even if it's down a little bit. I should say it's not a lot, a little bit. And then when you actually get rain, when you tell people there's rain in the forecast, they look at you, they go, again? there's this kind of look on people's faces like, really? When is it going to stop? So, I guess from a perspective of a person who loves things to grow in the garden, this is great. I mean, everything looks fantastic.
I mean, if you can go to my website, MikeNovak.net, you go to the homepage. I got photos of our garden, community garden, great. And everything's just growing fabulously.
Right. Yeah, no, without a doubt. And it was interesting. I was actually up in Milwaukee, about an hour north of there, twice this past week. And remember we were talking about the flowering trees, how it took so long for them to lose their buds and their flowers down here.
Right.
They're still flowering up there. They're literally 2 weeks late up there, and people up there are like walking around like we're upset up there. They're angry. I mean, there's actually parts of northern Wisconsin this week that had, you know, overnight lows in the lower 30s, and you know, ponds were still frozen, and I've never seen it that late in the year. So, enough of that. I mean, I know we realize it's been a cold spring and it's been a wet spring, and you know, things do turn around, and there's been some incredible heat building out west. I mean, Phoenix at 109, Death Valley at 123.
Did you hear Dr. Earth, who was on earlier? He said he got in his car and was 140.
Where was he located?
He's in Southern California.
Oh my God! He must be probably in the valley or something, or further. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was 140. You know, the few times I've been out in Phoenix, people say it's a dry heat, but man, when you close your windows and you do some shopping, you come back, your car is a furnace.
Oh yeah,
and it's probably as hot as I've ever felt it. And I remember I had rented a car and had this was back in the early 80s when I had vinyl seats and I had shorts on, and literally I burnt my, you know what, on there. It was that hot. But the thing that's bothering me is we keep getting this heat dome build out west, but it's not one of these heat domes that is building like in the central plains and, you know, kind of pushes northward up into the Midwest. This is already building out west. And if you remember last year, we were extremely hot. I shouldn't say extremely hot. We were really, really warm. The extreme heat was just to the south of us. Most of June and July and early August, it broke. And remember, when the heat broke here, it cooled off quite a bit. And then where did the heat wave develop? It developed out across the southwest in California. You know, it just kind of like a big blob. It just kind of nudged west.
Right.
So the fact that the heat is building that early, that far west, signifies that we're never going to really get into a warm pattern, because the distance of these heat domes is usually only about 1,500 to 1,800 miles wide. And if you end up on the eastern edge of that heat dome like we are here, it sets us up for a very cloudy, off and on wet, never really gets warm pattern. And that's one of the things that we look for. We look for these different signatures of how our summer is going. And I always say that first week of December is similar to the first couple of weeks of June. And I got a feeling that this, what you see out there right now, these off and on clouds and these systems coming in from Iowa and parts of Wisconsin, Minnesota, you could almost rubber stamp that this is how it's going to be around here for probably the next 2 months.
Wow.
Not really getting that warm. And then just a lot of days of rain, and something that we haven't seen around here in quite some time.
And our buddy, Pat Skatch, I noticed that he's thinking that maybe this Wednesday, he sent us both something. He thinks maybe this Wednesday we'll get an inch of rain.
Yeah, there's a couple of systems. The one that comes here tonight, we might as well get into the forecast now in the time we have.
Sure.
But clouds, a few showers later on tonight, mid-70s today. Back into the low 70s tomorrow. Looks like we'll get sunny with clearer weather on Tuesday. And then, as Pat mentioned, I totally agree with that. The next system comes through, pretty much a heavy rain producer on Wednesday. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is the pattern, Mike, for the next pretty much 6 to 8 weeks, off and on rain. And the heat basically builds and stays just to the south and west of us.
You know, and in the next hour, I hope you're listening, because I'm talking to Ryan Wilson from the Center for Neighborhood Technology about storm water solutions, about floods in major cities and how we've set up our cities to be flooded. It's just the design has been awful.
Yeah, but the deep tunnel project has helped us out quite a bit. So there's a yin and a yang to it, without a doubt.
Well, I suppose, but we got to do better than that. We'll be talking about those solutions.
How about a deeper tunnel?
And it empties into my basement anyway. Okay. Rick DeMaio weather. We will talk to you next week. Thank you.
Take care, Mike.
And have a great week.
And go Hawks, right?
Oh, yeah. Go Hawks. Bye. Like I said, next hour, we're talking rain and solutions for that. So stick around.
What's the use in trying? She'll never compromise.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Alsip Home and Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green. Let's get growing. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
She's got me in a trance. More girls in the world.
Welcome back. And I see that... we got to get Lisa in here. I know she's getting... goodies. Are those oh yeah. Are we on that's
is our radio show happening that's, in my absence?
Are we on here? What's
love
going on here?
Show.
Huh? Hey, woo-hoo. What does that red light mean?
I've forgotten.
Oh,
do we have a red light?
No, we don't.
Oh. See, that would help.
It's just memory from other places I worked that actually had red lights on when the show was out.
I was explaining to Colton about green rooms.
Hey, Colton, how you doing, buddy? How's it working? What was that frog game you were playing?
Bucket frogs.
Bucket frog. Are you still playing that game?
Pocket frogs, rather.
Sorry. Not sure what my memory's like.
Yeah, we have a whole colony of rare frogs over here.
Cool. We're all about biodiversity.
Are you speaking in code?
No, and they actually use the scientific names on here. He knows all of it. I don't know. This morning we played a game, and
It's like 20 questions, but I was like, okay, are you going to use a word I know? Because he has a lot of words I don't know.
Well,
kind of like you guys, like derpy.
Derpy. No, that's right. We found out what derpy means.
Looked that up. I was listening. Oh, I had such a hard time listening. I was trying. I had my hotspot on my phone, and I had the iPad going, and I kept losing you guys. Just as you'd say something really funny, I'm like, I want to hear the punchline.
Okay. Anyway, you mentioned earlier how we were going to, you know, attract people to the Facebook page. I don't think you said it on air.
We have not said it on the air. You know what?
Yeah, but you know what? Because off air, Lisa said, "Oh, we're at $8.99. We need to get over." Not only did we not cross over, we lost a like this morning. We lost a like. Why is that happening?
I don't know that that's super accurate.
I'm not sure it is either. So. Let's have us crash over 900, folks. Those of you listening, we want to. We've been sitting there for a couple of weeks. I need to get through that.
Yeah, we certainly. You know what? And that's 898. That's weird. Yeah, we need two more.
And I figure that two things happen. One of two things happen. Either somebody who's on Facebook is mad at me because we didn't have our Facebook surprise this morning.
Oh, you promised yesterday. Too.
I did promise. And it didn't happen, okay? So I reneged on it.
It wasn't that I'm back on the air?
No, that was not our Facebook surprise. But we can count it that, hey, Lisa's back. No. And the other thing that I think we might have lost a like is when I, you know, every time I talk about God, I think people.
No, those people are in church.
I think people unlike me.
Those people are in church.
Are they?
Mm-hmm. But the good ones are.
Some of them.
Or the bad ones.
The ones who need help.
The ones repenting.
Exactly. Or covering up, you know, just doing it to because they're so awful the rest of the week. Who knows? In the studio, I'm happy to have Ryan Wilson, who is from the Center for Neighborhood Technology. I don't know if you caught the weather forecast just before you came in. By the way, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Mike.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
What is this weather forecast? I missed it.
Rick DeMaio and I were talking about rain on Wednesday.
Maybe. Another inch coming.
Another inch of rain on Wednesday.
Sounds great. Good business for us then.
For you guys, not for the rest of us.
No, it's bad for a lot of people in the Chicago region.
Yeah. Good for you guys because that's what you're studying right now. That's what you're investigating. That's what you're doing reports on. That's what you're having initiatives about. And one of those initiatives is this Wednesday. It's called the Gross Gathering.
Oh, yes.
And by the way, Sarah, I don't know if you saw that earlier, but it's hashtag the Gross Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
I would miss that detail. Sarah does not miss those details.
No, she gets hashtags. She gets the whole hashtag thing. You, on the other hand?
Clueless. I do have Twitter on my phone, and I saw that Sarah wished Colton happy birthday on Twitter.
Well, that was really nice. Mm-hmm. Did we establish when Colton? Yes, we did.
Wednesday.
He's going to be 7, right? Okay.
It's going to rain on your birthday. I'm sorry.
Wednesday's child is full of woe.
Oh, no.
just saying. I'm right. Am I not?
So okay. We have Ryan here from CNT. I'm just going to put us back on track.
Please do.
Ryan will be off the rails the whole time unless you keep directing.
But explain, we'll get into some of what you guys have been studying, but why don't you explain what the Gross Gathering is on Wednesday?
Sure. So the Gross Gathering is an opportunity to put a face on those who have been damaged by flooding in the Chicagoland region. We're hoping to, and we will have a number of leaders from the community that is actually addressing flooding. We'll have David St. Pierre, the executive director of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District. We'll have Tom Laporte from the Department of Water Management at the City of Chicago, Ron Davis from the Illinois Emergency Management Agency, and Sarah Eccles from the American Red Cross. In addition, we'll have people who have experienced flooding sharing their stories, what the extent of the impacts have been to them, their families, their properties, their neighborhoods, and also sharing some of what they've done to prevent future flooding on their properties.
Yeah. And one of the things I note, and we should say that this is for average people who have had flooding issues, but we should also say that you're booked, right?
We're booked, yeah.
But you're going to do more of these, right?
We're going to do – we hope to be doing many more of these in the Chicagoland area. Mm-hmm. this will be our first bringing together of experts and residents to have that initial conversation. And we're hoping that it'll be so gross and potentially so wet on Wednesday that, there'll be more of a demand.
Well, it occurs to me that the people who are going to show up had their issues a little more than a month ago, like 6 weeks ago, because it was the end of April that we really got hit hard with rain. So the mold levels in those homes should be pretty high right now. They should be spiking right about, for those people who tried to clean up, missed spots, or don't know how to do it properly. I mean, are you going to address those things as well?
Sure. And we'll actually have contractors on hand who are experts in mold remediation and removal, as well as other contractors who are expert in basement and waterproofing and landscape contractors who install rain gardens. So not only will there be people on hand who can advise on how to handle those solutions, mm-hmm. they could, if you wanted, actually perform those solutions for you. But there'll be a lot of conversation about, what were the impacts of the mid-April floods and the storms that have happened since then.
And again, some people might not want to show up on Wednesday because if it's raining an inch of rain, and it's very, it's funny. And
they're tending their sump pumps.
Right, exactly.
All hands on deck.
It's not funny, actually, because I was, the last rainstorm we had a couple weeks ago, we have had issues with my basement and, have just, I don't even know, managed to squeak by and not get a disastrous flood in the basement. Okay. For various reasons. We think part of the issue is the catch basin. Maybe you can mm-hmm. do a catch basin 101, so what people need to know about that, because I could certainly stand to have that information. But we were out hauling stuff out of the catch basin a couple of weeks ago, and before a storm hit. And I think it helped because apparently a lot of that sediment has been washing into the pipe under the basement and clogging it.
Yeah, that's the case. We've talked to multiple people in the last few weeks who found out that their catch basin was clogged and their downspout was going into the catch basin and essentially flooding their own house because of that lack of maintenance. So what we're hoping to do through a service that we're offering outside of this gross gathering, we're calling it Wetrofit, that service is intended to help educate people on the daily maintenance, the yearly maintenance that they need to be able to do on their house to prevent flooding. In mm-hmm. addition to helping them understand what is causing flooding at a neighborhood or a regional scale.
Yeah, I want to let people know, if you go to my website, mikenovak.net, go to this week's show and scroll down to where it says flooding problems. Don't get in a snit. Wetrofit. I came up with that myself.
That's it. Can we use that?
Yes.
I think we need to use that now.
I had a feeling that your fingerprints were on that phrase. I saw it last night and I was laughing hysterically.
And I am donating that to the Center for Neighborhood Technology.
Thank you, Mike.
No charge.
Don't get in a snit. Yeah,
first one's free.
First one's free. After that.
Every bad pun beyond that is painfully paid for.
Well, we do need a tagline for the gross gathering, too. And maybe
all right, let's. I'll tell you what. 773-763-9278. If you've got a tag for the gross gathering, and basically the gross gathering is for people to come to vent, to learn and vent. You know,
sure.
It's a little bit of everything. It's document, learn, and vent. Because you, one of the things I like about this is that you're giving people an opportunity to get on their soapbox and say, I'm so sick and tired of X, Y, and Z, or whatever it is, right? That's part of the deal.
Exactly. In fact, I think we have a literal soapbox that people will be able to stand on during the event.
Oh, I need that.
Yeah.
Would they come in portable sizes I could put in my purse? I'm always on a soapbox.
Yeah, but this is just about flooding. It has to be the flooding soapbox. All right. Don't put soap in it because then you'll have suds all over the place, especially if there's water underneath it.
It'll be a rated bunch all over again.
That's what's so cool about it. And like I said, it's sold out. Well, it's not really sold out because it's free, but they're completely booked, but they're going to do more of these. So if you go to my website, mikenovak.net, go to this week's show, you can log on to where it says gross gathering. And if you RSVP now, the next time they do this, and you may have to do one on Thursday after we get rains on Wednesday.
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not either. But you can be involved in this and tell your story. And I got a feeling that a lot of the stories are going to be similar. I mean, if you go to my website and you can look right across where I posted that, you can see my block and the water stand, the lake that was created
by that rainstorm in April. Now, part of that, if that got fixed, because I went out there, Kathleen and I went out there with rakes and shovels and opened up the drain.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and a lot of it's just the crud that just that blocks the drain. And the city doesn't have enough people to do that at every drain. In the city. So, you know, my advice would be, hey, you folks, it's your block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learn how to do this. Just get out there, get your boots on and grab a shovel and go
and
to it.
And it's really interesting because you actually see when we have these big rain events, if you're out in your neighborhood looking around, there are some people who know that this is the problem and they'll go out, that this is one of the problems, and they'll go out and they'll sweep and they'll rake and they'll...
Well, my neighbor is fabulous. I'm sure that he knows it's going to rain. He does it before it rains. So it's not
well, but you
up.
But you have to go up and down the street too because all that washes in
that's
as
true.
Well.
It grabs
you know
all
how
the
far can you go because it's gonna wash in.
Mm-hmm. And this is only one of the parts of the problem. We should say. I mean, there's certainly catch basins that clog up in the city, but the larger infrastructure of the sewers that we have in the city sometimes are undersized. I mean, there are neighborhoods mm-hmm. where we know that to be the case, mm-hmm. and the city is working very hard, putting a lot of money into investments.
Well, which takes me to a report that you guys put out, which is called The Prevalence and Cost of Urban Flooding.
Sure.
And what you guys found in this report that is just, to me, so stunning is that most of the insurance claims were from people who were not in the flood plain. All right. So you assume, well, the rains are coming. Gosh, those poor people along the Des Plaines River. And yes, that does fill up. They know that. But I think where people get caught off guard is that in the city where I live, I'm not near a floodplain, but the city floods all the time. And what you guys the conclusion you guys came to, which was really stunning, is that we have designed our cities so they will flood. That's part of our problem.
That's the unfortunate part of our problem. We live with a history of land use that has created very impervious coverages in our cities. And so when it rains, the water has to go somewhere. Unfortunately, that's often our basements or flooding in our streets, flooding in our neighborhood parks. And that is disassociated with the traditional flooding that's associated with water bodies like the Des Plaines or even the Chicago River.
Right. And if you look, I mean, you can go to the links on my page because the article's there and then the study is there. But you've got this map of Cook County and it shows where the rivers are, but it shows where the claims are.
Mm-hmm.
And the claims are not near the rivers necessarily. And it's because we have, as I said earlier in the program, impermeable surfaces. We're sending our downspouts into the sewer system. Basically, and part of the problem with that is that we are taking a natural resource, which is this pure water. This is the rainwater. And we're turning it into sewage. We're turning it into toxic waste because along the way, when it goes in the street, and this is why I tell people that, you know, you want to save a nickel and wash your car, but you're putting detergents in the street and you're putting oils in the street, and then that gets washed in. And guess what? Then we got to clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to a car wash, a lot of those places recycle that stuff. So it goes into their drain. So in a sense, yeah, I know you want to save a nickel, but look at the damage you're causing.
Yeah, and this is a complicated problem. In the city of Chicago, we have what's called a combined sewer system, which is different from a lot of the municipalities in the greater Cook County region, where they have separated sewers. So in Chicago, you have both our sanitary waste and our rainwater and stormwater goes into the same pipes, mm-hmm. which eventually are processed by the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District. In some of the northern suburbs and western suburbs, those are actually separated systems where the sanitary waste goes to MWRD and some of the stormwater waste is...
Well, how do we do that here?
Excuse me?
How do we do it here? Why can't we... Are we working on getting those separated in the city of Chicago, or is it the infrastructure just too large and unwieldy?
Too large when we started building 130 years ago, the combined systems. And at this point, to actually separate would be almost impossible. There are places in the city where they are separated, I think, along Lakeshore Drive. Some of that water is captured, filtered, and infiltrated or outleted before going into the combined sewers.
Mm-hmm. But just very few places?
Very few places, yeah.
Do
Well, I got more questions for you.
Yeah, sure.
Hang on. I want to get back to this. We're talking to Ryan Wilson from the Center for Neighborhood Technology. I don't have a lot of time, but if you got a question about flooding, 773-763-9278. Obviously, you can tweet us. You can go to Facebook. And look at that. Listener Tom N. on the Twitter machine. He says, please like WCBT's Mike Now on Facebook and follow him on Twitter. He's cool and environmentally involved. He's begging for me. That's just sad, isn't it?
$8.98. We're holding on.
$8.98. I saw $8.99. Did we lose it?
No, it was $8.99 when we started the show.
No, I've got it $8.99 right now.
Well, for some reason, my computer's not working. I'm trying to post WetroFit right now, and nothing's happening. Something's going on with my machine here.
Because I've got $8.99.
All right.
Yeah.
One more, folks.
So, I'm seeing $8.99 too, Mike.
You got $8.99 in there?
Yeah, my computer's doing nothing right now.
Well, that's not good. And it's not her computer, folks. It's the station computer.
True.
just so you know.
I'm sure they already knew.
No, they don't.
I complain enough.
You can depend on Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center on Dempster Street in Des Plaines. For everything that grows and everything that goes with this gardening season, like it or not, and I like it. Rick DeMaio, not so much. Lurvy's is one of your, why did I do that? It's your one-stop shop for annuals, perennials, hanging baskets, trellises, or one of the most complete lines of natural stone and pavers in the Chicago area. Now, did you know this? Did you know that their friendly and knowledgeable staff is available for in-store design consultations? 50-minute, and that's 5-0, 50-minute consultations are available by appointment only for homeowners looking for ideas for one area of up to 500 square feet. And have you joined the Lurvy Garden Club yet? When you sign up for the Lurvy Garden Club, you benefit from exclusive sales and promotions, members-only e-news, the Seasonal Solutions newsletter, and more. Lurvy's is conveniently located at 2550 East Dempster in Des Plaines, just 1/4 mile east of the Tri-State Tollway, I-294. Go to lurvys.com and don't forget to like them on Facebook right after you like me. Right after you like the Mike Novak Show, go to Lurvy's and like them as well. Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Carol?
Yeah.
Where are we?
Breaking news. We're at 9:01.
We're up. Wow. How about that? Breaking news.
Refresh the screen and there it is.
There it is. See? There's people out there. Thank you so much. Now, well, let's hit 1,000 before the end of the day. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. The health and beauty of your trees are dependent on more than just pruning. In fact, many problems that become visible in the canopy of a tree may be attributed to problems that lie below the ground. I took a course once where they said, and other people say this too, that the 90%, 95% of what goes on with a plant happens below the soil line. And it really is true. As I said earlier, it's the biology, stupid. And it's the soil. And the Care of Trees has a soil care program that consists of an array of services that promote healthy soils. The soils of urban trees are often neglected, and yet tree health is dependent upon fertile soils that are alive with diverse populations of microorganisms and available nutrients. As a home and tree owner, you can assist in promoting a healthy soil environment by working with a certified arborist at the Care of Trees. Call 800-508-9466 for a free consultation. 800-508-9466. Write it down. Call today. Leave a message. Your call will be returned tomorrow. 800-508-9466 or go to thecareoftrees.com.
The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure. You're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
I was thinking that if, you know, the next time we have one of those reports, Carol, we'll have to go with the breaking news bed. Okay. And now, 901 on the Facebook meter. We'll be right back after this message. It's one thing to talk about sustainability, but it's really something else to build your LEED Platinum Certified headquarters on the West Side brownfield. That's what Christy Weber did when she built Rancho Verde. The site features geothermal heating and cooling, a unique solar wall, rainwater collection. Speaking of rainwater, even a greenhouse, all in a 12-acre eco-industrial park. Save the date, because on Friday, June 21st, Christy Weber Landscapes and Rancho Verde will once again host the Chicago Honey Co-op and Slow Food Chicago's Sweet Summer Solstice. You'll have a chance. I'm hearing, you perked up there, Sarah. Huh?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
You'll have a chance to see for yourself the kind of innovation and leadership that Christy Weber has been known for, all while picnicking under the summer sun. Go to, here's the site, Sweet Summer at brownpapertickets.com. Oh, no, I guess, sorry. sweetsummer.brownpapertickets.com. for tickets to the event. And be sure to visit ChristyWeber.com to learn more about Christy Weber Landscapes and the Farm and Garden Center on Grant Street. You can also like them on Facebook to receive updates and specials. Christy Weber Landscapes, right in your own backyard. Hold on. We were here. Okay, I like that one. Let's go with this one. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're talking flooding and the gross gathering, courtesy of the Center for Neighborhood Technology, Ryan Wilson. And Ryan, exactly what do you do over at the Center for Neighborhood Technology?
Well, Mike, I run the Stormwater Program, which is part of our water program, one of four different initiatives within the C&T organization. One focuses on energy, we're focused on climate change, transportation and development, and then water. So within the Stormwater Program, there's actually two big initiatives right now. The first is a partnership with the City of Chicago called the Sustainable Backyards Program.
Right.
And that's a program that provides incentives and education to homeowners who are interested in making investments in native plants and trees, rain barrels, and compost bins on their private property. The second is a project called Wetrofit, which is a conflation.
And I love that, Wetrofit.
Wetrofit.
Don't get in a snit. Wetrofit.
Wetrofit, which is a conflation of wet weather retrofitting. And the goal there is that we would actually connect homeowners who are experiencing flooding to contractors who are providing flood prevention solutions, as well as helping cities who know they're experiencing flooding to target neighborhoods that are most at risk. So we're piloting this project this year. We hope to have the service up and running by end of 2014.
Well, I have to, while we're here, I have to bring up something. I'd be remiss if, because you mentioned the Sustainable Backyards Program, and you and I have talked about this off air before, and this is this whole thing with gardeners being issued tickets, some of whom are guilty only, and, you know, via the weed ordinance in the city of Chicago, some of whom are guilty only of growing native plants. And it's weird when the city on one hand says, hey, grow native plants. Here's the Chicago Backyard Sustainable Backyard Initiative. We want you to grow plants. And then they turn around and then they ticket them for growing weeds, because you get these judges. I almost said idiot judges. But it's out there now, who look at a picture and then someone says to them, they say, well, it's over 10 inches tall.
And the person says, yeah, but this is a plant that monarchs survive on. This is the plant they need. And the judge says, well, what is it? And the person says, milkweed. Aha! It's a weed. $600 fine. End of story. That's a problem.
Sure, it's a very difficult problem, Mike, and we probably understand some of the reasons why this is occurring. We have Streets and San is in charge of enforcing these regulations, and some of the fellows who maybe are doing this and, you know, are probably not as familiar with the weeds. And so certainly there is more training that needs to happen on the city side. And I believe they're working on some of that problem right now.
Good. I didn't mean to sandbag you with that, but, you know, you went down that road of sustainable backyards. I had to bring it up.
Yeah, sure.
I just had to do that. We only have a couple minutes here. So when we talk about what CNT is doing, you've got the that's, I like that noise. I don't know if anybody heard that, but Colton was finishing his dairy product there.
Slurping all the way to the end.
That's okay. That's how you get rid of all that stuff at the bottom of the box. The juice box, or milk box in this case. In addition then to, I mean, I look at what CNT is doing, and it's almost kind of hard to wrap your head around it because you're doing so many different things in association with stormwater and rain and initiatives like that, how to conserve our water, which is a precious resource. What comes after, what do you hope to have happen out of the gross gathering?
Well, we hope to have good stories from residents that experience flooding. Some will be tragic, some sad. Hopefully some will be revelatory, that they were able to solve their flooding problems. And we hope that those stories are what can be conveyed to the officials who are there, and also that the officials who are speaking on behalf of these agencies are able to share the initiatives that they're working on that are intended to help alleviate some of these problems.
And I think that's really important part, is that you've got the people from the agencies. Wetrofit is a great idea. That puts the onus, though, on the homeowners. And you and I have already determined that, to a great extent, it's not their fault that the city is set up like this. So I think ultimately we have to have policy change too, don't we?
Well, I'd actually like to clarify that point. I don't think that we determine that it's ultimately the city's fault. I think that in many municipalities, there is a legacy of infrastructure that's not sized appropriately or has not been maintained.
Okay, it might be partly their fault.
But there's also a history of development that is based on private development that has covered up much of our land. Certainly the right-of-way is an area where the city is making investments, and they're making better investments over time. We are particularly focused on this wetrofit idea because we think that there is an opportunity for the private side, for homeowners to invest in solutions that build upon those public infrastructure investments that the city is actually making, that all cities are making right now.
So in your opinion, we're going in the right direction?
I think we're going in the right direction. And I think that part of this conversation is that homeowners can be part of the solution, that they can solve their own problem, and that they can help solve the problems that their neighbors are experiencing as well.
Well, and I'll tell you one of them. It's real easy to figure out. When we had the big rain in April, all right, there are several things going on. One is I have a downspout that goes into my backyard, you know, I talk about it on this show. I know you talk about it all the time. And people really need to pay attention to that. It's like, take that water and don't start pumping it into the sewer or the catch basin, because it goes away from my catch basin and it goes out into the yard. Now, the other thing, though, is what do you have growing in your yard? You were talking about the plants, native plants, not even just native plants, but good gardening techniques. Mm-hmm. My neighbor on my west side, and it's not their fault necessarily, they got a lot of kids. That backyard becomes hard pan after the kids run around there. All right. So when we have a rainstorm like that, I look out in my yard and it's all drained. I look in their yard and it's a lake. And that's part of what's going on as well, is that the cultivation isn't there. The water can't drain properly. So that's not the city's fault. It is something that you can address.
And I think that our goal is to be able to provide more education, both through sustainable backyards, through wetrofit, that as a homeowner, you can cultivate the soil such that it has greater water holding capacity, that native plants can help with their deep root systems break up some of that soil and provide conduits down to local water tables and away from your basement. I mean, it's important to note, if you do disconnect your downspout, you want to make sure that it's not directing water back into your sump pump or into your basement or into your neighbor's basement. And we should note that that is actually
Don't take it around just the side of the house, because it'll come in.
If you disconnect your downspout, according to plumbing code, it needs to have an outlet. It either needs to be maintained on your property, or needs to be directed off your property to a catch basin in the alley or in the right-of-way near the street.
Yeah. And I'm learning things about that too, like catch basins and things like that, and how you empty them out and how they don't empty out. All right, this is all great stuff. If people want more information, they can go to the Center for Neighborhood Technology, and that is cnt.org. www.cnt.org. You can float through, and I've got a bunch of links on my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time to come to the studio. We are going to talk more about this, because this is a continuing problem. And, you know, if it rains again, we might have to do this again.
We're happy to come back. We don't like coming back when it's raining, but
I know.
We'll participate. Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care. It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Bertold's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. Now, Wally isn't a real doctor, but then I'm not a rocket scientist, so there you go. Wally is always giving tremendous tomato tips, and here's another one. He says, remove the lowest branches. Why? Well, first of all, he says the lowest branches should be 24 inches above soil level to create better airflow. That's one of the things it does. And tomatoes pruned this way avoid soil splashback during a hard rain. You know, the soil... it rains, it splashes up. What's splashing up on the leaves? Well, those fungal spores. And you don't want those on your tomato plants. Now, make sure to dispose of or compost all trimmings. Do a good cleanup. Plant debris can spread fungal problems or harbor insects. For more information on this and to get more tremendous tomato tips, talk to Dr. Wally yourself. Go into Bertolt's Garden Center, 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front, or go to bertoltsgardencenter.com. Bertolt's, get green. Let's get growing.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
Arr! Plant pests. Arr! Throw them overboard with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew from Bonide. An organic way to protect plants from critters like caterpillars, beetles, spider mites, borers, and more without having to cast any spells. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew is not only effective on all types of pests, but it's safe to spray directly on your affected plant. This Bonide product is available in quart ready to use, quart ready to spray with a hose end sprayer attachment for easy application, and a concentrate if you prefer to mix your own. Always read and follow label directions. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at these fine retailers. Countryside Flower Shop in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Kinch Village Florist in Palatine, Illinois. Matson Ace Hardware in Coal City, Illinois. Or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you. And don't forget to download the free, and I do mean free, Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid. Okay. There we go.
On the city.
All right, we got still lots going on. Before the end of the show, we will be talking to First Ward Alderman Proco Joe Moreno about proposed, well, the Bring Your Bag Chicago ordinance coming up. But right now, let's go back to the phone lines and bring in Jim Schweitzer. And I'm going to kind of turn this over to you real quickly, Lisa, because you're the one that's worked with Jim.
Yeah. No, I had the great opportunity last summer. As I've mentioned on the show before, I went down to San Francisco to attend a training with Al Gore on the Climate Reality Project, which is a intentional plan to create an army of speakers out there to educate people on the intentional misguided comments that people make about climate change. And when you go down, you get a mentor, somebody who's done this before. And I was lucky enough to get Jim, who is, Jim, is this right? Astrophysicist, right?
That's right.
Yes. An astrophysicist.
Wait a second. So I said earlier I wasn't a rocket scientist, but are you?
Yes, but I tend not to use that, or people shut down quickly.
Oh, man. We got a rocket scientist on the show.
Awesome. So Jim's been doing this for quite a long time, and so I felt really lucky to have him as my mentor because, you know, you're not really sure how to, you know, do things, how to present, and the information is a little overwhelming, and Jim's been doing this. In fact, Jim, you were one of the first graduates of Al Gore's leadership corps, correct?
That's right, Lisa, and hi, Dave. Mike, nice to be on your show.
You can call me Dave. You're a rocket scientist. You can call me anything you want.
it does help like that occasionally, Mike, because usually I'm focused on being in outer space. No, I had the great privilege to be in one of the first cohorts. It's very unusual for the climate speakers for Mr. Gore's organization to be scientists, so I feel actually doubly privileged there. But the type of science I do, I'm at Columbia College in Chicago here too. I try to help people understand the big picture generally. I'm more of a rocket science educator.
Ah.
In fact, Jim has a really interesting TED Talk, which I should have given you a link to.
I would have put it up on the site.
Put it on the site. Yeah, a really great TED Talk.
What was it
really
about, the Jim?
Well, it's the perspective that an astronomer would have on this whole climate issue. We're actually quite simple. People might not know because we, you know, to us it's a question of conservation of energy. If you put more energy in things, more stuff happens, and that's like one of the simplest laws of physics. So that's the way we approach it. And also, we're quite large advocates for solar. Because solar energy, we know, is very steady, it's renewable, and so on. So my TED Talk is about that sort of perspective. But also, I tend to try to look at the really, really big picture in very long time frames, and much longer time frames than most people are used to. And that's really one of the zones you have to be in to think about the climate crisis.
Well, isn't the whole carbon dioxide thing a situation where you have to frame it over a long period? And this seems like we've been hammering this for a while, which is to say, you put carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, it's going to stay there for a long, long time. So we have to stop doing that now. But the point seems to be that nobody is willing to act on that, or very few people are willing to act on that. Did I frame that correctly?
Yes. I mean, I think we're basically monkeys, right? And we're used to living with monkey brains. And in the time frames we're used to, the issues we're used to, listening to your wonderful show, you know, people worrying about this season versus last season and so on. But a year is like a tick of time in terms of climate and so on. So these are things that people, in all honesty, in fairness to them, just unused to dealing with planning that far out in the future, understanding that their actions affect generations to come. So that's the big challenge. But the simple fact is, by upping the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere, it's like putting more blankets on the bed. It's just going to keep warming up. And we're starting to see some of the results of that. And people get to go to this climate reality core training. And I really urge people, if they're interested in helping others understand this, to sign up. We have a special opportunity to have this training here in Chicago. You learn that we're now actually starting to see the effects of this in the really the strange overall weather we're having.
Mm-hmm. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, okay, so let's get down to what Al Gore comes to town and tells people. How does he beat that into our monkey heads?
Well, first of all, Lisa's just terrific. She's like the absolute perfect mentee. I'm so thrilled to be able to be associated with her. And you're very lucky to have her on your show.
Yes, I am.
They're the monkey brains who go to these tend to be quite advanced monkey brains, like Lisa. So.
Well, actually, I felt more than anything impassioned. So I feel impotent most of the time when people are talking about climate issues. And mm-hmm. I feel the one thing that I am capable of doing is communicating. Mm-hmm. And so by getting trained to be an ambassador, to be a leader in this organization, I can take this message, because the biggest problem that our country faces is the lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And this will give people like me who feel passionate, want to do something, a chance to get off the couch and mm-hmm. out into people's lives. Right. And it gives you the confidence and the background information to be able to talk about the science without being a scientist.
Right.
In fact, one of the things that was so impressive to me is Al actually does the training. You would think he has people for that, but he does the training. And so he's up there. So you have this person who has decades of experience and exposure. You know, he was one of the first congressmen to talk about climate issues, back in the 90s. And so he's doing the training, but he actually has a scientist on board who stands there. Even though he's said these things 1,000 times, he looks back and he says to a scientist, "Did I get that right?"
Right.
So I like that.
You don't feel like you have to be a pro, but they give you the background and the information, and they impassion you even more so that you do feel motivated to do something.
Okay, here's the story. I have an alderman who's waiting to get on the show right now. I want you guys to talk about this more. Now, I'm not going to be here next week, so what do you think, Lisa? You're going to be doing your a climate reality program on the 21st. Maybe Jim could come back next week and you guys could chat a little more about this.
Sure. Although I will say, for anybody who does want to take Al Gore's training, which it is rare. Most of the time you have to go somewhere else. Okay. You could go to Istanbul, Turkey this year. They're doing two this year, one internationally and one here in the U.S.
I'm on.
But
let's
the deadline is June 15th. So that is next Saturday. So go to Mike's page. I'm going to post it on Facebook, but go to Mike's page. There is an application page. Don't be intimidated by it. They want to know who you are, but that's not necessarily, that they're going to say, "Oh, you're not smart enough." Mm-hmm. But go to the application page. Get your application in by June 15th. The training is July 30th, 31st, and 1st of August.
But you got to do it by next Saturday.
You got to get your application complete.
And I'm sorry we don't have more time, but Jim, I want you to be back on the show. I want to talk to you more about this because I don't get rocky scientists on my show very often.
I'm happy to talk about planets generally.
I love I am a huge astronomy buff. I thought for a while I was going to be an astronomy major in college, and then I realized it was all about math, and that was the end of it for me.
Well, anytime you want to talk about science, especially outer space science, I'm happy to chat. It's really nice. I'm happy to help. Also, I should just add one other thing. You meet really interesting people when you do these things, people like Lisa. But my classmate, when I went for my original training, was Cameron Diaz.
Wow. Come on, really?
Oh.
Well, and I'll drop another name. Jim's also friends with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
He's a buddy.
So if you don't know who that is, definitely look it up, because he's the funniest scientist
ever. He is just wonderful. Okay, Jim Schweitzer, thank you so much. We're going to get you on the show again, or maybe next week, or maybe in the future, but definitely mark it down and we will talk.
Great, Mike. It's been a pleasure. Bye-bye, Lisa.
Thanks, Jim. See you soon.
It's June, so break out your rhymes. Moon, croon, soon, dune, bassoon, and of course, Picayune. It's also time to break out a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. In addition to the great stories in every issue, there are also regular features like Adele Klein's Q&A. That stands for question and answer, in case you've never been to a news conference. She always answers gardening questions with the help of the area's most noted horticultural experts. Here are some of the subjects in the May-June issue. What are some drought-tolerant ground cover plants? Has climate change also changed the hardiness zones for the Chicago area? Are pine needles bad for growing hostas? When is the best time to divide toad lilies? For that matter, what the heck is a toad lily? When is a good time to apply mushroom compost, and is mushroom compost a good soil amendment? Then there's my column on the inside back page. Most people have just one question about it. Why? Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Get a subscription, for crying out loud. Go to chicagolandgardening.com, chicagolandgardening.com, or call 888-265-3600.
I'm Jennifer Brennan, the smart one.
And I'm Mike Novak, the pretty one.
We're the co-hosts of Dig In Chicago,
Chicago Television's only local gardening and cooking show.
And we're thrilled to be back for our second season, offering gardening tips and tours.
Plus, local chefs and local dishes.
Saturday mornings at 8:30.
And this year we're on the U2 channel, 26.2.
See you there. I've got to go check the soil temperatures.
Does this pancake make my face look fat?
Are you an Allsip Home and Nursery A-List customer yet? If not, why not? It's free and you can do it online at allsipnursery.com. As an Allsip Home and Nursery A-List customer, you are able to take advantage of A-List only sales events, exclusive A-List pricing on selected items throughout the store, advanced notification of new items and product arrivals, and special A-List member events and seminars. In addition, you receive Allsip's regularly published email sales flyer. Here's something else you might want to order online, the Allsip Home and Nursery Gift Card. It offers the flexibility you need when it comes to deciding on gifts for all occasions. You can order your gift card online securely, and Allsip will even deliver your gift cards directly to the recipient. What could be any easier? Allsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, or in St. John, Indiana on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. Go to AllsipNursery.com. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Immediately, let us go to the phones. Bring in First Ward Alderman. Okay, now I'm trying to bring him in here. Hold on. There we go. First Ward Alderman Proco Joe Moreno. Joe, how are you?
I'm well, Mike. How are you? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure to have you on the show. Let's get right into it. You're going to propose something in city council and committee a week from Tuesday that has to do with plastic bags. And basically, the idea is to eliminate or reduce the number of plastic bags that come out of retail establishments in the city. How do you plan to do that?
Sure, Mike. Well, actually, I introduced the legislation in late 2011, and it's a trend that's going on not only nationally but internationally, taking a look at the usage of one-use petroleum plastic bags in our society as sort of a triple bottom line issue. One, that they're extremely bad for our environment globally. Two, locally, they're littering our trees and our sewers. And lastly, they're expensive to our economy. It's an old economy. It's an old way of looking at of going to the grocery store and using and actually abusing our environment. So countries like India have outright banned these. The state of Hawaii has gotten rid of these, many municipalities. So we're looking at a better way of going to your local grocery store or your local store. And ultimately, the best option is to bring your own bag and use that, or secondarily, using something that is better than a petroleum-based plastic bag that can't be recycled. We use billions with a B of these in Chicago every year, and taxpayers end up paying for them because they clog our sewers, they get in our trees and our parks, and obviously city workers have to clean those out. We have a new economy, a better way forward, and that's what this ordinance addresses.
You said it was introduced before. Why now is it coming up again?
I'm an impatient guy, and I'm new to the council, but on this, I really wanted to take our time and educate the public and the aldermen on this. We've had several briefings, going through not only the environmental impact, but the economic impact, studies from the University of Chicago, other cities' ordinances. I really wanted to take our time and make sure we had an educated populace on this. And so we took our time in doing that. It was a struggle for me because, again, you know, I'm an impatient guy. I want to get things done, but we took our time on this, and I think it's going to pay off.
To that end, I will, in full disclosure, say that I've been helping with that, and we've come up with a initiative called Bring Your Bag Chicago. There's a Facebook page called Bring Your Bag Chicago. There's a change.org petition that you can sign, and that takes you to the folks who are on the committee that you are going to be bringing this up on Tuesday, and that's the 18th of June. And it is the Committee on Health and Environmental Protection. What then do you plan to have happen at City Council on that day, Joe?
Well, we want to hear, you know, from all sides on this, but we have a very strong proponent side of it, obviously, with not only environmental experts, but folks from the business community, folks from the consumer community that are going to be testifying, the general public, anybody that wants to sign up can testify at this public hearing in front of the committee and hopefully push for a vote on this ordinance. And this is one way I relate it, Mike, is, you know, if I said to you today, if I said, go out, I will give you a dollar and you go out and walk around Chicago streets and come back and give me a styrofoam Big Mac or Whopper container, you wouldn't find one. But if I said that to you in the early 90s, you'd find them all over our streets and our alleys and whatnot. But the industry got together with government and got rid of those. If I said today, I'll give you a dollar for go out and spend an hour around the neighborhood and find plastic bags, you know, I don't know if I'd have enough money to give you. So that's what we're relating it to. We've addressed other issues with other products, you know, and the fast food industry is doing great. You know, they're fine. They've found another way to do it. And with plastic bags, the same thing today. Plastic bags, I think, are a thing of our past, and we're trying to be, you know, futuristic and a new economy and looking at that. So, you know, when people kind of question that, I try to pull them back and say, look, we've dealt with other products that are poor for our environment, poor for our economy before. We've addressed them, and that's what we're doing today.
I think that's great. I think you're going to find a lot of people listening who agree with you that it's about time. We need to get plastic bags out of our system and get rid of our addiction. There's more information about this. It's going to be released. You can go to, Bring Your Bag Chicago and find out. There's a video on my website, MikeNovak.net, called Plastic Bags, Not an American Beauty. It'll tell you the cost of this. And Joe, Alderman Joe Moreno, you and I will be talking again soon as we proceed, because this is just the first step, and we're going to move forward.
Absolutely, Mike, and thank you for plugging the different sites. Really, I think when people, you know, some folks, and I'll close on this, think, oh my gosh, you're making it inconvenient for me, et cetera, et cetera. And once you get just a little bit of education on it, I think people are going to find that it's not that big of a deal in their lifestyle change to bring their own bag. And that small step that everyone takes, not only Chicagoland, statewide, nationally and globally, is going to be where we are in the next decade. And we need to lead on this, or we need to have a leadership on this. And I appreciate your time and willing to discuss the issue, Mike.
Yeah, and I encourage everybody to go to my website, MikeNovak.net, this week's show, to read more about it. Joe, you and I will talk again very soon. Thank you so much, Alderman, for being on the show with me.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
All right, have a great day. Growing season in the Midwest also means it's CSA season, or community sustained agriculture. And I'm very, very happy to be able to tell you about a local sustainable farm called Purple Leaf Farms. Located in suburban Elgin, it's run by a friend of the show, Snappy J Dog, and she grows vegetables, herbs, and cut flowers using organic methods, no synthetic chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, or synthetic fertilizers. Get a Purple Leaf Farm CSA and guarantee your family a weekly supply of fresh, local, and pesticide-free food for the whole summer. Their options include full and half shares, and in either case, you get fresh cut flowers and at least two kinds of herbs. How cool is that? You can even get a flowers-only option. There are pickup locations in Elgin, Forest Park,
Oak Park, Hines VA Hospital, and the UIC Chicago campus. Shares start in mid-July and go through late October. If you're interested in this, and you should be, for more information, go to purpleleaffarms.com or call 312-437-7542. But I advise you to go to purpleleaffarms.com and give them a call, or rather, and check out the information on the website today. Okay. We're coming in for a 3-point landing here, and I think it's very cool that Snappy J Dog decided she's going to do
give
this.
Give her a ding.
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to give her another ding.
She's typing away.
Oh, and I was going to I'm going to play something that I have to. It's too late, but well, I'm going to do it anyway. We're going to throw this in because Rob wanted this in at the end of the show.
Can you turn it up a little?
Yeah, from WKRP. All right, everybody get ready. Are you ready there?
Yes.
Okay.
Colton, are you ready?
You ready? We say go green or...
Go home.
All right, we'll see you next week.